Welcome back to another episode of the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Sean and Dane are with you as always. What's going on, man?
Same old shit, different toilet.
All right, well, before we jump in, let's quench our thirst in a segment we like to call What You Drinking?
What you drinking?
Well, Mickey, we have some fantastic beers.
Mm-hmm.
Courtesy of a Mr. Thomas Stranger. Hooked it up. We traded off 12 packs, gave him some Cleveland beer. He stepped up his game, though, and he gave us 6 different beers, and 2 of each. So throughout this episode and the next episode we're releasing, we're going to just touch base on all of them.
Yep.
To start us off, we have, if I butcher the pronunciation, I'm sorry, but Dundalk Calling. It's from Key Brewing Company. It is 8% alcohol by volume. It's a double IPA. Fantastic beer out of Dundalk, Maryland. So, good start.
It was a great start.
Put a little fuzz on your peaches.
A little hair on your chest.
All right, I have 2. All right. Good.
All right. Well, we are bringing you another fantastic episode again today. We have some bags to review. Woohoo.
Yes. Yes.
We're doing NOLA bags, the Mardi Gras and Category 2 bags.
Both awesome bags.
I'm excited to do this review. It's definitely some of the more unique materials we've had, kind of felt so far.
Yeah, but so, I mean, they both play completely different from each other.
Yep.
And that's what I like to see out of companies, like not just like basically the same bag coming out, just little tiny variations like these two, night and day.
Absolutely. All right, so there was a recent ACL event, another pro invitational that was held in South Bend, Indiana. So we're going to talk about the results. We have a regional competition coming up this Saturday. Yes. We want to discuss how your mindset might be different going into a tourney like that compared to like a weekly league or blind draw, something like that. And then there's also going to be a bonus episode this week. We're going to be joined by the fellas from the Doghouse Dogcast, Brennan and Donnie, which obviously needed to be its own episode. Yeah. So make sure you look out for that episode to be dropping later this week. But before we dive into the meat of the episode, the Jimmy Dean, if you will, we're going to update you all on what's going on in our cornhole world in a segment we call In and Around the Hole.
Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
Brought to you by Cornhole Addicts. It's summertime, sun has been shining, cold beers are being cracked. Make sure your cornhole game is ready to rock. Visit cornholeaddicts.com to get anything and everything cornhole. We're talking bags, boards, score towers, you name it, you got it. They got everything at cornholeaddicts.com.
Also brought to you by Colorado Cornhole Connection. Up your cornhole game, stay refreshed by adding a Colorado Cornhole Connection board to your arsenal. While you're there, use the code BIGASP, one word, all capitals, at checkout for a 5% discount off all purchases. And check out the freaking board with a cooler in it. Still the coolest thing I've seen.
Absolutely. The coolest board accessory, right?
Yes. Hell yeah.
All right, so we got to play some cornhole with actual people besides just family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I guess I did at least, finally. We met up with ACL pros Justin Stranger and Sean Smith and Thomas Stranger.
Yes.
As they were on their way to South Bend for the Pro Invitational. We played a bunch of games, had a few beers, exchanged a few beers, as Dan was saying earlier. It was a good time.
It was a great time. Great people. As, you know, pretty much everyone in the cornhole world is, so no surprise.
When we were playing these guys, some of the shots they hit, that's why they're pros.
Yeah.
I know we were playing Justin and Sean at one of the matches, and Justin hit this just ridiculous shot with a Reynolds Pro Advantage.
And he called it, too.
He did.
Yeah.
And it was a great shot, but it was a great time. The boards were super, super sticky. We had some success, I guess if you want to call it that. When we went to a faster bag, we actually won a match, which was nice.
Hey, that was nice.
But we threw a variety of bags that night, which I don't know. I always enjoy doing that.
Yeah.
We threw everything from Pro Advantage to 357 to Dragon Bag Inferno. We threw
slide
the
rights.
Slide or all slides.
Yeah.
Chicali bags.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything. Some worked, some didn't.
Dude, it was, man, like, I have never seen an all slide stop on a dime like they were doing that day.
Yeah, it was
like,
humid
out. It was one of the toughest conditions I've ever played in. Absolutely. Outside, but no excuses. They were playing the same stuff and seemingly whooped our tush. So
we scored points.
We did.
And we were in some of the matches. I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
That's why they're pros.
Big thank you to Tom, Justin, and Sean for inviting us to play against them, as I guess, like, if you want to call it, a warm-up for their invitational run.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
it was a good time.
You're welcome for warming you guys up.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of that, there was an ACL Pro Invitational this Saturday. Again, it was in South Bend, Indiana. And we had some Cleveland Cornhole representation on ESPN.
Cleveland!
What's up? Eric Anderson and Chad Braun played doubles.
Mm-hmm.
Chucky Love played singles. Trey Birchfield played singles and doubles.
And doubles, yeah.
And they all got on big stage. It was cool to see. I love seeing guys that we see regularly on the big stage. I don't know. I thought it was cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, next time we see him, it's like you're meeting a celebrity.
Kind of. Not really. And we'll take some credit for Eric doing so well, since he was on our show days before he
was making
ESPN.
Yeah, I feel like
ESPN,
we really got him
part of us feels
in the right mindset.
Absolutely. So it feels like I was on ESPN a little, no?
If you want to, sure, take what you can get, I guess.
I'm going to, because it's never going to happen, so.
But, you know, we also had the Reschke's, yep. Father-son team. We mentioned them last episode. They fell one game short of making it on the big stage, but you know, kudos to them.
I mean, there's a bunch of Cleveland people that were just short of making it. Like you said, the Reschke's, Christine Papke was one short with her partner, Chad Mayberry, I believe it was. Carrie McMiller was playing Miguel Villa. They were one game short. But yeah, it was good. I think even Chucky and Eli, I know Chucky and Eli did really well in the round robin. I think they're 3-1. I can't remember who they lost to, but they had a good run. But overall, it was nice to see all the Cleveland representation. I liked it. The doubles final match between Birchfield King, Wooten, and Windsor was just awesome.
Yeah, dynamite.
It was great. I mean, big names is who you kind of wanted to see.
To me, it finally felt like pro cornhole was back. You know,
a little bit.
Not knocking like anything that's been on before, but like everyone was on their game. Yeah. Everyone looked like you could tell that they've been practicing, stepping back and throwing, and I just saw, I mean, across the board, it looked like there were a ton of great games this weekend.
So this weekend, too, in the finals, big factor was they played outside.
Mm-hmm.
In the qualifying for ESPN, there was all indoor stuff. They played outside. It looked like there might have been a little bit of wind, but, I mean, listen, if everyone's got to play at the wind, everyone's got to play at the wind. I think there were some shots I saw, especially by James Baldwin, like, just missed the board sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, it's probably a little uncharacteristic of him. Maybe it had to do with that. I don't know. But I think just playing in those different elements definitely messed with some of them.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it with Stranger and, and Smith. And, you know, they were hoping that it was going to be moved inside. But after seeing it outside, I get why they did it. It was a little different.
I thought it
looked cool on TV.
Absolutely.
Like, It was sweet. I mean, I think it was the best one they've had yet.
That's where cornhole got its start. You know what I mean? I think that's something that even the average viewer can kind of relate to.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, hey, these guys play outside too. They're not just always inside in these perfect elements. So I really did like it. I think, again, these 12-round matches, they play a really big part.
They do.
If you watched it this past Saturday, the first match of the day was Eric Anderson and Chad Braun against Noah Wooten and Ryan Windsor. They were playing, it was a very close match up until they had one round where Wooten scored 9 points on Braun.
Yeah.
Chad just had one bad round. They scored 9 points. Sometimes that's all you wrote. In a limited match like that, I thought Eric was throwing really well. I think some people would say, towards the end, like, hey, you know, like, he kind of got blown out. I think he had to take chances because they were down.
You had to try to make big. I mean, you got to go for the big points. And yeah, I mean, like you said, you it's that different mindset. Because honestly, you give up 9 points in a normal match, you know, first of 21, you can still kind of ease back. I mean, it's a big hole to dig out still.
Absolutely.
But you can still take your time and chip away at it. But 12 rounds, man, you got to score bunches.
12 rounds, and I think that if you asked Eric, to be honest with you, I think he would say that after Chad gave up the 9 points, like, that's going to get to you.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be disappointed. You know how big of a hole that was. And before that, Eric hits, I think he opened up with 5 points against Windsor, mm-hmm. the first round. He put him in the driver's seat. if they kind of just played their game and held their own, they had a really good chance to win, but that 9-point spot kind of put them behind. So, but again, it was really cool. I love seeing them play. Again, Chad Braun's one of our favorite dudes too. The athlete, we call him. Awesome throw.
I mean, if you watched it, you know why we call him the athlete.
Absolutely. He works out. For sure. Trey Birchfield, I thought, just over the play great. Took third, I think, or tied for third in singles. He won doubles with Derek King. He was just, he's just so consistent.
And it's just, it's just effortless for him. He just steps so consistent. Up, just stands there, and I mean we see him play all the time, and every time he's always
I mean, his top. His like demeanor kind of matches his play style.
Yeah.
Calm, cool, collected, just doesn't really seem like he gets rattled, just goes up there and it's like a robot and just kind of hits the shots every single time, it seems like. So, but it was a good finals match. I was happy. And finals of singles was Noah Wooten versus Windsor, which was kind of a cool concept.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Windsor was just a freaking machine. I think he hit something like 25 or 26 straight shots, something like that, something crazy. What that guy can do to a Reynolds Pro Advantage just blows my mind.
Are you positive he's throwing Pro Advantage?
I'm pretty sure that's what they're throwing.
I
think that's what he was throwing.
Just asking.
No, but I mean, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
how much he can get the bag to move, just how accurate he is. I mean, if he's not the number one player right now, he's got to be top three, I would think.
I mean, I think it's a pretty much toss-up between him and Jamie Graham.
Jamie Graham's up there. Yeah. I mean, if we're talking just ACL, yeah, yeah, I think it's right up there. I mean, I think after his last run, I think you can put up Morton after he beat Jamie Graham. I know it was a limited round match and everything, but regardless, you go up against the guy who everyone's calling the best in the game right now, and you go and beat him. I think you got to consider Matthew Morton in that round.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, any of these guys can beat each other on any day.
Oh, for sure.
That's what makes the sport great.
So we mentioned before, we threw against Sean Smith with Justin Stranger. Sean Smith's brother, Ryan Smith, has not played in any of these invitationals. I believe he's going to the last two. He's another name that would not be surprised if he just goes and does phenomenal. So to me, he's another guy that could easily be considered top three, top five, if not the best.
Yeah, I mean, all the players
season right now.
Yeah, and the way the players talk about him too, like just every time they say he just steps up and he throws lights out. I mean, it's nice to have players talking about you that way.
And I think so, especially at this one, because there's a lot of obviously the Cleveland local people, since it was only, you know, 3.5-4 hours away from us. A lot of these guys, that might have been like their first experience going back into playing like actual like competitive matches again. So it got me thinking, how does your mindset change when you're playing, let's say, like a backyard game or like a league match versus a tournament? Like, do you approach it differently? Do you tend to take it more seriously? Like, where are you at with that?
So like when I'm playing backyard or a league match, like to me, it's still, I still consider it practice. And then I always use like blind draws and everything. They're always practice for me. And then when you get to the regionals or something, that to me is when it needs to all come together, whether that happens or not. You know, I guess as we've documented on here before, we never really know. But I wouldn't say I take a tournament more serious. I think I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but I mean, I tend to...
You focus more?
Yeah, I'm a little more focused once I'm on the board, but when I'm off the board, I feel like I'm exactly the same.
Yeah.
Like, it keeps me kind of calm and collected.
We tend to be pretty social when we're not playing.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think the focus is the factor between, you know, league night and going to an actual tournament.
My thing is, like, obviously we're both pretty competitive. When I'm going into like a league night, let's say like our typical Monday night league that we've been playing in for like the last year, I get comfortable because how our league is set up, you throw in divisions and you tend to throw against the same people week after week. You get to know how they play. You might step up to the board and you're feeling pretty confident because, you know, like you've beaten this team, you know, the last five times, you know how they play, you know. That you just, I guess, it's just a level of confidence that you go up there. And it's more, to me, like those leagues are more about, I get a night out of the house to go hang out with some friends, and I get to play cornhole and drink a lot of beer.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Regionals or like the conference tournaments or something bigger like that, or even some of like those bigger summer tournaments, I think personally, I take it a little bit more seriously only because to me, it's kind of like I'm setting the bar for, hey, how much time and work and effort have I put into getting better? And it's going to be a good benchmark of where we're at.
Yeah.
I know, and that's what sucks. And I really wish I could go play this Saturday. My daughter's turning 3 this Saturday. I'm not going to get to play in this regional. I'm hoping they have another one in July that I'll be able to get to. But, you know, dad duties obviously come first.
Yeah.
But our last regional that we went to, we took 2nd.
Yeah, we showed up. I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, so I really thought, like, okay, hey, you know, we're starting to show that, like, we, you know, we belong throwing with the better players. And I feel like I'm just so more confident right now. I'm just much more confident right now throwing that we've had this time off. I've had a chance to really throw and just practice certain shots. And I guess I'm more just excited to see if that hard work has actually paid off.
Yeah, I mean, hit it on the head. I mean, the only thing that I would say is, for me, when it comes to regionals and conference, I feel like I actually drink more for some reason. I don't know why.
Sometimes it's a longer day, though.
Yeah, I think maybe that's it. Like, I just always have a beer in my hand. Like,
yeah.
I just never stop drinking the whole time I'm there. But, like, and also, too, with, like, league night or blind draws during the week or something, like, I'm going to try shots that I normally wouldn't. You know, I'm gonna take risks. I mean, we're already pretty aggressive players, but you know, if I think I've been working on those sneak around shots and stuff, mm-hmm. like I'll throw those pretty consistently on like a blind draw tournament. Just hone my game. Like I said, they're practice to me.
Well, and then too, the last regional that we played in, we took 2nd in the competitive division. We had said before going into it, let's play smart. Okay,
yeah.
Let's not give up stupid points. We used to be super aggressive shooting in airmail, although. Like, maybe our percentages weren't the highest. We had always said, like, hey, go big or go home. The last tournament, we're like, you know what? Let's just see how far we can make it if we play smart. It worked out well.
Mm-hmm.
Made a big run. Made it to the finals. Unfortunately, we lost in the finals. But by that point, I think we were having a hard time standing up straight.
That's true.
Kind of thing. But I don't know. I think a big change for me has been mindset-wise is at least when I go to these bigger tournaments, I don't really get nervous anymore. I remember, like, those first 2-3 regionals I'd go to.
You were a wreck.
I was a mental wreck that first game.
Yeah.
Like, I would always start off pretty well, and then it would come back to me, and I would just fall apart. Like, I was having a hard time hitting the board. I didn't know where it was going. And then it wasn't until, like, that we lost that first game, and I sat down, and I'm like, why am I getting nervous? I know I can beat these. I know I can beat who we just played.
That's when you'd go and calm crack
down.
Your beer.
Yeah, seriously, start crushing a few beers, calm down. But at least I don't get like that anymore. And I think it's because it's not new. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal anymore. And I think it's just I'm more confident because I put time in to try to get better.
Yeah, no, I fully agree.
So yeah, it seemed like a little topic that has just got me thinking as I was watching, going over all that stuff and how these guys might have been feeling going over it. Just knowing that, hey, being on ESPN and the day before that, when they were qualifying, that might have been like the first time they were really throwing live against good competition since all this shit happened like 3 months ago.
And I know talking to the couple guys around here that haven't played in anything yet, they were chomping at the bit.
Like, oh, yeah.
I mean, they were so
ready
to get out to this tournament. So, you know, it was a fun one to watch, though. But hang on. Are we moving on to something?
Well,
because I feel like it's time
That's what I was kind of signaling. Yeah.
Oh, you need one too?
Well, yeah.
All right, well, simmer down. I'll get you your fix. All right. So, next beer. It's called Be More Hazy.
Ooh.
Love the name. From Oliver Brewing Company. It's another double IPA, another 8%er. Hang on. Oh, yeah. That's a double crack for you. It's right out of Baltimore, Maryland. Thank you, Thomas Stranger. This is another banger.
You were keeping us hydrated.
Mm.
Invitational and kind of our mindset for a second. Because, Dean, we have some bags to review.
Oh, boy.
Bag review time.
And you feel it, and it feels like a bag of sand.
So we are reviewing Nola bags, and they are made by Billy Webb. And he wanted to bring something different and unique, like the city of New Orleans, to the cornhole bag market. And before we get into the breakdown of each bag, okay, this slower material that is used on both bags, okay, so each bag is a little bit unique, but both bags I'm confident in saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they offer something unique that you've probably never thrown before.
Yeah, I mean, the slow materials are something I've never felt on a bag out of all the bags we've seen.
Okay, so let's start with the Category 2 Hurricane. Okay, do you want to take this one?
Sure, yeah.
All right, I know this was your favorite.
Yes, I love this bag. So it is it's a stick and slick.
Yep.
The slower side, I mean, it's got this, like...
No, I wouldn't... Okay, let's... It's a slower... It's not a stick bag, though.
No,
you know what I mean? Like,
but, I mean,
like maybe
in today's day and age, I would consider it a stick.
Depending on the board conditions, it could be a stick and slick. I would say, like, if you're playing on faster boards, though, I would say it plays more of, like, how I like to categorize, like, a slow and go.
Yeah.
Where there is a definitely a slower side and a faster side.
Yeah, but it's not carpet.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, it's not carpet. It's got this, like... It's almost like a mesh feel to it.
Yeah.
But it's solid throughout.
It's thick.
It is like, thick material.
And I don't mean the bag itself. I mean just the material on that side.
Yeah, but hey, it came broken down. I mean, this thing's already slinky.
Yeah.
But, dude, I mean, it's been pretty humid here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this thing hits and it, like, maybe gives you, like, a skid or two and then it stops on a dime.
Yep.
No kick, no, like, flop or rollover that I've gotten on this bag. I was a huge fan of this thing. I mean, to me, it's like, it's the perfect cross in between, like, suede and reverse suede.
Yeah,
I feel like reverse suede,
like,
it does move still. Mm-hmm. This guy just kind of, it'll move, but then just stop.
I would say almost, it's similar to, like, if you get that, a Killshot 357, that player's material, it doesn't feel like that in any way, all right? I'm saying how the bag plays itself and that amount of movement, I would say it's right about there. But after the 357 gets broken down a little bit, it starts to slow down consistently. That's kind of what this speed is right off the bat. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think, if I were to give it a rating on the slow side, I'd probably give it a 5.
I think that's pretty
just
fair.
Just right down the middle. I mean, mm-hmm. It'll still move a little bit.
And again, on tacky boards... This is gonna stick.
Yeah, I mean it'll be.
But on faster boards, so we have very opposite boards. My boards tend to be very fast. Dane's boards tend to be a little slower. On my boards, when I throw it, it does move, but it's very, very controllable.
Yeah.
I can still throw it pretty aggressively at the hole, and it's not gonna go off the back.
And I mean on the fast side of this bag, like it almost looks like Victory-esque, but it's not Victory at all.
It's not.
It's not. It has that same like kind of weave to it that Victory has that we all know, but this. It doesn't catch like Victory. It moves. I mean, I'll give this side probably an 8 or 9.
It reminds me of, like, so the bags we have, they're gold, all right, with black. And first of all, they're simple, but I love the design on them.
Sweet design.
It reminds me of, like, the material you're going to find on your grandmother's, like, nice couch.
A little bit.
Just, like, with that textured feel a little bit.
It's
but
not covered in plastic, though.
It's not covered in plastic, correct. No. But it's a full bag.
Yes.
All right. Although it's a full bag, it breaks down, like Dane said, very, very nicely. It's very hole-friendly. It's a heavier bag?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Whatever resin he's using, it sits
nice.
In your hand real nice. I mean, it is.
So if you're somebody that wants, like, a little bit more substance in your hand, right? You want something a little bit more that you can grab onto, where if you're trying to pinch those fingers together, they don't quite touch.
Yeah.
This is going to be that kind of fill. This is going to be that kind of bag shape. And if you like to throw, I don't like, I would say this maybe like a, I don't know, like a, maybe a Checkmate or a Rogue maybe. I'm trying to think of like a popular bag. It's not as slow as like that Reynolds Pro Advantage carpet sign.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I'm telling you, it's like, I like don't even put it in the same realm as
it's
carpet.
Not, yeah,
it's not carpet. Like, I think it really, I mean.
This slides better than that.
It does, yeah. And that's why I put it right there like. Right, a little bit slower than reverse suede.
Fast side, 6-7. I mean, it's not that fast.
I put it at like an 8.
Yeah, but you try to throw the fucking thing like 100 miles an hour every time.
That's like, just my throw.
I know, right? But like
so,
that's what I'm saying. Like, so you're everything's a fucking 10 for you if it's not like suede. So it's not. So taking
so
it from
Sean
somebody who
sits there moonshots it.
No, I don't fucking moonshot the motherfucker. But I'm saying it's not as fast as what you would expect. I would say 6-7, right around there. Okay. All right, so let's go to the other bag. All right, this is the Mardi Gras bag. Now, this is the bag that when I came across it on Facebook, I just saw that it had a different texture when people had taken pictures of it. And when I picked the bag up, out of the box. I almost didn't believe it when I first felt it. It is all, it's, okay, so on the slower side material, it's like an elasticy yoga pantsy type material, right?
I mean, I think it's taking me back to like 80s leg warmers.
A little bit.
Yeah. You know, got a little snap to
it. Now, this takes a minute to get used to throwing.
It does sit different in your hand. You got to adjust to it.
We had joked when we were throwing the slow side down, and when you go to release it, it almost like trampolines out of your hand.
It does.
A little bit, just because when you go to release the bag, that material does stretch a little bit, and you can feel it, and it almost jumps out of your hand. When you get it down, though, the speed of these things is great.
Dude, it's really
and
nice.
It is phenomenally hole forgiving.
Dude, this, and that's like the best part of this bag is like this material, since it is so stretchy, like if you get a little bit that hole, it just literally just slinks in.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
Yeah, it is.
It's an impressive bag. I mean, I don't like, I wish people would catch on to it.
Again,
it
right
is different.
And right out, we have not done anything. I wish we had video right now.
Yeah.
We've thrown these.
Which we really need to start doing.
We throw them like one day, right?
Yeah.
This thing's ready to go.
I mean, if I'm holding it right in the middle, this thing is completely, it's touching the back and the front of my fingers as I just hold it up, like propped up in
my hand. Now, the faster side of material is fast. It feels like a stiffer material, but with this slower elasticy type stuff, which I'm going to dub the Nola material.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even matter that it's still stiff. I actually kind of prefer that it's stiffer. It actually makes it hold its shape a little bit. Again, he uses very similar fill. I'm assuming it's the same fill.
Yeah.
It's a fuller bag. I liked it, man. This is one of the things that I love doing these bag reviews, is finding something that is not the same old shit that is out there.
Yeah.
Now, some of the same old shit out there is good shit, and that's the reason it's the same old shit, because
it's good shit.
It's there. But I always get excited when I see somebody come out with a bag who takes a chance and does something different, and it works.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
If you were looking for something truly unique, style-wise, now I can't speak for any of the other bags he has out, and I think he has 4 or 5 different bags. I can tell you with certainty, the Mardi Gras and the Category 2 are going to be 2 different bags. They're going to be materials you've never felt before.
Yeah, nothing. You won't have anything in your arsenal that matches these materials, period. And I think that's awesome for them.
Yeah.
Like, and to me, they could catch on.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, you were saying that, you said earlier that Billy Webb, like, he's one of the better players out there in, like,
from what
Louisiana,
I see on Facebook,
he
seems like he does
and
very well.
And he throws that Category 2 Hurricane.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, people, like, if you like a slower bag, check that bad boy out, because it is sweet. Now,
and
did you want to give a speed rating on that, on the Mardi Gras bag? Because we never...
So for the Mardi Gras, I threw them on your tacky boards.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the slower side is 6, 7.
Yeah, I mean, I would categorize this one as a go-go bag, personally.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's a little bit, it's definitely different speeds on both sides. But yeah, I would say, okay, I'll say like a 7. The other side's like 8, 9.
Yeah.
It's a fast bag. It's going to be great for slower boards.
Yeah.
If you're playing this thing on fast boards and you have like a higher loft shot, it's okay.
Dude, I'm telling you, because it grabs the hole. Like, I mean, it grabs the hole like a freaking Viper to me. Like, that thing was just slinking in. And for how full it was, I thought that was really cool.
But again, we like to comment, too, on when the bags are well made. All right.
Yes.
So I'm just looking at the fine details of these bags. The edges, they're not rounded, but they're almost folded in. So they're squared off just a little bit. They're squared off just a little bit. And the seams on these things are immaculate.
Yeah.
Like these things look like they're going to last forever.
And to me, it's impressive that he, like, especially for this Mardi Gras bag, like to be able to sew this in together with this other material, like,
I'm with you, man.
It's impressive.
So we were big fans of this, okay? So again, if you're looking for something unique, you're tired of the same old shit that's out there, you have 20 sets of Reynolds bags, you've tried Vipers, you've tried Game Changers, and you're that kind of guy that's like, hey, I'm open for something new and different, I would highly recommend the Mardi Gras or the Category 2 from Nola Bags.
Yeah, I mean, dude, they're sweet bags. And honestly, like you said, they're simple designs, but they're cool designs. First off, their logo I love general.
Yeah.
Like, it is a cool logo. And, dude, the design work, simplicity sometimes is key.
Absolutely.
What I love about the Hurricane is, like, you could throw this on ESPN, same color on each side and stuff. You don't have to worry about that kind of stuff. Like, but yeah, I mean, dude, kudos, Mr. Webb. They're cool bags.
Absolutely. So you can find them out on Facebook. It's, again, it's NOLA Bags LLC, and NOLA is NOLA Bags LLC. Find them out. Check him out on Facebook. Go give him a like. If he's producing this stuff already, I'm excited to see what he comes out with in the future. I'd be more than happy to throw anything this guy makes because, again, two for two for us. We really liked him.
Yeah, I mean, something I remember unique. When I first heard of him, I saw that Voodoo bag popping up. Dude, that logo is
I just like the artwork on that bag and stuff. It's really cool.
That might have to be the next one we purchase from him because it is cool looking.
100%. Okay.
100?
All right, so we're going to move on here from the bag review. And you know what time it is, Dane.
Let me guess. Cue the rap horn?
Plug time. Cue the rap horn. Shameless plugs. Reach us on Twitter and Instagram at Big Asp Cornhole or
Facebook at Big Asp Cornhole Podcast.
Thank you, as always, to Cornhole Addicts. Visit cornholeaddicts.com to feed your addiction and
Colorado Cornhole Connection. Use the code BIGASP, one word, at checkout. 5% off all purchases. And check out that... Did he name it yet?
I don't think he's named it yet. I haven't seen it yet.
But I'm going to call it the drink drawer. I like that one.
If you haven't, again, and if you haven't seen it...
It's a cooler and a board.
Go to Facebook, go to Colorado Cornhole Connection, watch the video, and tell me this thing's not amazing.
You know, this week I'll go back and I'm going to tag it on our page, too.
You have to.
So everyone has to see this board. I mean, it is sweet.
100%. Okay, so we're going to be chatting with the Doghouse Boys next, okay? Brennan and Donnie. So be on the lookout for that. I guess if you want to call it interview, it's not going to be an interview. It's going to be us shooting the shit. That episode's going to drop later this week.
Yeah.
Because obviously we're not going to have enough time. We're limited on my recording capabilities to just over an hour.
We might need to cut theirs into two separate episodes.
Yeah, correct. So just make sure that you're looking out for that later this week.
You know, next week, we got more bags
review. We're going to be reviewing We're going to be reviewing Bag Daddy's Cornhole, his 3.0 and 5.0 series. Again, that's Bag Daddy,
yes.
3.0 and 5.0 series. That's going to be next episode. Again, two bags I'm pretty excited to throw. Dane has not thrown them yet.
I haven't thrown them yet, but holy crap, is the artwork on them phenomenal.
This dude knocked it out of the park for sure.
It is sweet.
Okay. I guess that's pretty much it.
I guess so. At time, like, I guess we got to talk to the Dogcast now.
So I guess, again, congrats to all the Cleveland Cornhole guys that played well.
Absolutely.
Well this weekend representing. I don't think a lot of them are going to this Saturday. There's an ACL tournament in Delaware.
Yes.
But then the final one is in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is our own home away from home.
Isn't that Father's Day weekend?
Something like that, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I know a lot of them are going to be up for that. So a lot of cornhole to watch the next two Saturdays. Check it out. It's on ESPN. Typically it's on from like 12 to 4. If not, set your DVR, record it. All that stuff.
Heck yeah.
Check it out. It's good stuff.
Our old stomping grounds there in Erie from our college days. Maybe
dangerous.
Maybe one half of the podcast will go out there and see what's up. I hate to make you feel so jealous, but it's also Father's Day weekend. You're daddy.
I am. That's why I should be able to go.
My wife's going to ditch me and probably go to the lake without me.
All right.
Well,
I guess that's it.
That's all she wrote, man.
Sweet. All right.
Bring on the Dogcast.
Bring on the Dogcast. All right. So as always, we hope you throw it straight, and it's nothing but four baggers from here on out.
Cornhole it.
Later.